was lost, the treaty signed, I was not caught across the line. I was not caught, though many tried. I live among you, well disguised. I had to leave my life behind.
All right, True Detective, season 2 review. Tonight, we are reviewing True Detective's 7th episode, Black Maps and Motel Rooms. Man, I'm getting better as this goes on. I'm actually looking up the show names before. It's great. Joined tonight by John Santeri and, of course, one of my favorite people to do TV show stuff with, Mark Ramcat Jackson. We were talking before the show. We're very excited to do this one because normally when we do these episodes, there's usually a consensus of like, yeah, that was a bad episode, or yeah, that was a good episode. But this time, we got kind of a split here. We were talking before the show. Now, I think, in my opinion, this episode was the best episode of the season. This was the best episode that they've had. Mark told me before the show that he's over it. John, what did you think?
I liked it. I mean, so far the only episode I was kind of like meh on was the whole shootout scene. Like I watched that one again and I was like, eh.
Yeah, I think that's the one no one liked. But I guess, why didn't you like it, Mark? What bugged you about this episode?
Well, it's not so much how it bugged me. It's just that where I would think that they would finally get to the point of having all these things kind of nicely, neatly filed.
Laid out.
To get to where we need to go as far as finding out who's Casper's killer and who's cheating Semyon out of his money and what's going to happen to Paul and Annie and Ray in regards to all this stuff. It just feels like they're... We got to write something. Just write something.
Well,
it doesn't matter what the fuck we write. Just make sure that we get from point A to point B. It doesn't matter how insane or confusing or convoluted the process is. Just get from point A to point B.
Well.
Did you like the last episode, though?
I did like the last episode. The orgy.
Yeah, party.
Yeah.
It was
good. I do appreciate how it's different from season one now that we've finally been able to have enough episodes that we can actually talk about it.
Yep, completely different. I mean, the vibe, everything.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I'll say, because it seems like, you know, it almost seemed like they got away scot-free from their whole reconnaissance, and then now they're just getting blowback from it, and it's really taking a toll on their
whole operation.
Well,
she did kill a guy. I mean, she did kill a guy. But I guess, okay, let's start like we normally do. I guess the story we'll start with, because we could probably start with Ray and Amy, right?
That's her name? McAdams Apple.
McAdams Apple. Rachel McAdams Apple. They're in the motel room. And this is right after they got back, I guess, from the party. And she's still kind of wigging out because she killed a guy and she's still on fucking Molly. So she's losing her shit. She starts rambling and then she mentions something about the woods, which leads back to later on in the episode you find out something happened to her when she was younger. And then she tries to basically fuck Ray.
Yeah. But now, was she trying to fuck Ray to like get dirt on him?
No.
Or she
That's
was just
over.
Like...
I think the getting dirt thing is over. She legitimately likes him, but then she used the excuse that she was on drugs. I think that's the way I took it when she said...
Wait a minute. Yeah. Hold on. Does she really like him or does she just want dick?
Well, let me explain.
I think she just wants
dick. Let me explain.
Dick.
I think at first she just wanted dick, but I think later on in the episode when they're kissing is she really started liking him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
you know how there's... I agree. Because she even said that it usually... is this going to help? And she goes, it usually does. Like, you know, the fucking helps make the pain go away. And that's how I... That's what I took from it, you know? And then, you know, he said no. And I did like that line, like, you're out of my league. As if anybody would be out of Colin Farrell's league. So that scene was... She was freaking out. She starts crying. Then they cut back to the hotel. And that was a good scene when she was talking to the girl that they rescued.
Yeah.
Yes, they've been looking.
You find out that she didn't want to be rescued.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they've been looking for it since the first, second episode, whenever they were serving the papers to that one family and they were saying, you know, hey, why don't you find my sister rather than trying to evict me out of this house?
Correct.
Which would also lead to, okay, so I wish the episode were better, but there's this crazy, really insane dialogue, and probably one of the best lines that has come out of this season is, you know, maybe you haven't thought about it, but maybe you weren't put on this earth for fucking. And then the woman says, everything is fucking.
That was fucking good. That was perfect. I love that. When everything is fucking. And another great line that I will say is Frank, when he was holding the dude up against the wall, and he goes, look at me. I want to see your lights go out. I thought that was really fucking, again, I thought Vince Vaughn was really good this episode. In terms of being an intimidating person, he came out very intimidating.
Do you think Vince Vaughn, and this is just like speculation, I guess, like predictions, do you think Vince Vaughn's either going to A, kill Osip, or is he going to get killed by Osip?
I don't know, but that's another reason I like the episode. Him, well, we're getting too far ahead. Let's go back to where we were. It's easy to jump back. I want to talk about that too, but let's go back to they're in the hotel room. Yes, she's talking to her, and it turns out all that, and she didn't want to go back home. And something that was really telling, and I sat there and I go, nobody is good in this show. There's not a redeeming person, because even when she goes, you should go stay back with your sister, and then she even says, I don't want to stay with your perverted husband, you know, because it basically leads you to believe like her husband was doing something to her sister, you know, to the wife's sister, because she didn't want to stay with her sister. She called the husband perverted, and even the sister said, oh, no, he's changed. He's changed. So it's kind of like, was her life really better before, you know? Or and she says, oh, the way you were at the party. She goes, I was on Molly and too much champagne. Like, she was like, that's how I should have been, you know? So it's kind of like, it makes you wonder, did she kill in there and kill that guy for no fucking reason?
Well, now,
I mean, the guy did put her hands.
Oh, no, I know.
His hands on her.
And that also led to her, to Annie, being investigated because that guy's now dead. And so she's the prime suspect because everyone saw her at the damn party. So she's out as a cop. And then I guess when they were done with their meeting over at the hotel, and then Ray's trying to find Davis, who is in charge of running this kind of secret team in order to find out all the corruption in Vinci.
Yeah.
Now she's dead.
Yep.
So they don't have anything
killed her.
I don't know, but you forgot really quick, Mark. Remember in the hotel room, just so we don't forget, Paul at the same time in the hotel room got a text message.
That's right.
With the pictures of him banging that other dude, his military buddy.
Yeah.
So you know, someone's trying to blackmail him. So yeah, then you're right. Then she turns out to be dead. They start piecing together that basically the whole shootout was set up. That's why they killed Fat Detective, because he was the one that was in on the gems before and all that bullshit.
And he was running surveillance on Paul.
He was taking
pictures of him and his boyfriend while they were, you know, while he was still alive, but also while they were trying to reconcile, or, you know, let bygones be bygones. And Paul wasn't having any of it because he's trying to leave his life behind.
He was trying to be a good man, as he kept saying. Because this one's kind of hard, because normally now that the show's gone on, everybody's kind of story is together. So it's not even like you could follow one plot line, because it kind of they're all really intertwined now. So then I guess the next thing is, I guess, to see what else did Ray do? I'm trying to think. Ray,
he was trying to still get more money. He was trying to buy a plane ticket. He was trying to get out of the States, because he knew that it was all coming down.
Well, no, I'm still talking about Ray, not Frank yet.
I get the names confused.
Ray is Colin Farrell, right?
Yes.
Okay. I might make sure I get him confused. But yeah. But Ray was telling Rachel McAdams Apple that we need to get out of the country because we're both now fugitives. And then it turns out that she went to go see her dad, and then she, I guess because of that orgy, remembered the guy that did whatever to her when she was younger, that guy in the woods, you know, they were talking about. And the father felt really bad. He hugged her, and then her ex, her ex partner came and helped her out.
Yeah. I guess they had a thing or something.
Yeah, they definitely, of course they did, because you know he said he could have done more, and he goes to shake her hand, and she hugs him. That was pretty cool. So they get out of there. So she, you know, basically goes to take off, and then now I really, really, really enjoyed Frank's story this week.
His story keeps getting better and better, man.
Yeah.
Like, he was really trying to do something else with his life, mm-hmm. and it pulled him back into it.
Well, remember, Ray meets him again at the bar, and he tells him, and Frank tells Ray, Ray tells Frank, you better give me you're going to give me the person who gave you the false lead on my wife, so I keep believing it's not you that did it, right? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, so Frank is, he's dealing with that. Then, Frank finds out because of Ray, right? Frank finds out at that same meeting is where Frank finds out about this guy was betraying him, right?
Yeah, the blonde guy that he murdered.
Yeah, it was him. It was Chisani, the mayor's son. It was Rick Springfield before he got all his teeth knocked out by Ray. But they're all colluding. Yep. Redhead is running girls on the side, and I guess he was trying to let Frank know, well, you told me to, you know, be ambitious and try new things and everything else. So he's trying to worm his way out of it by saying, I can find out information for you, baby. I can find it out for you.
After fucking Frank broke a glass on his bitch face. Fuck, when he slammed them in the face with the glass, shoved them in the ground, started beating them. I'm telling you, Vince Vaughn's a big boy, so it's fucking intimidating. That guy's intimidating. Like, when he was sitting at the poker table and he ripped the fucking edging off of the poker table when he was getting pissed. He just fucking ripped it off like Hulk. And he was... Yeah, so he starts beating the shit out of the... Oh, I love that whole back and forth they had. Like, the biggest mistake you made was coming in this room. You know, you got arrogant.
This is what I like about the season. Mm-hmm. Is because pretty much the only one that I can really sympathize for or follow realistically is Frank, because even though all these other people, their life has gone to shit, Frank's included because he lost millions and millions of dollars. He's part of this deal that went awry. People are trying to kill him. They're trying to freeze him out. He still has semblance of control. Meanwhile, Paul's lying to himself. Annie wants the dick. Ray's throwing the worst party ever, doing pull-ups and baggies of coke. And meanwhile,
best party ever,
best / worst party ever. Don't cater him for birthdays, especially kids. But it's really a matter of that, you know, any other character, and you put them in Frank's situation, and they would just crumble. They would just go on their knees and start crying. Frank has been very measured, very calculated. He's had a plan. He's had to change the plan multiple times, but he's also been, you know, not just kind of, because I could totally see where he would just go off the rails and, you know, be cliche, but Vince Vaughn has been very, very good this season.
Or go on the rails, like we said before, like Ray did.
Yes.
Fucking big,
but now,
fat,
was this the episode where Ray did his little bender thing and then he called up his wife?
No, that was
said,
the episode before.
Custody?
That was the episode before. So he's already written that. I think he's already just said that. Figured out that that's just the way he's going to live his life, which also leaves him kind of with nothing to lose. But yeah, but going back to Frank, yeah, you're right. Frank's very calculated. And the whole scene when the wife walks up to him and tells him, God, her tits look good this episode. But anyway,
walks up.
I don't know. They really did this episode in that dress. They were great. But anyway, walks up to him and tells him, well, how much do you have liquid? He says 200, 300,000, maybe. Let's just leave. And he's like, he was like, I'm not fucking leaving. I'm staying here. But then when he beat up the little bitch, he told him, you know, the Israeli Russian guy was trying to had already bought the properties out from under him. And he said, well, we're going to keep it under our hat. And that's when the fucking dude thought he was going to let him live. So he sat down and he shot him. Right. Fucking shot him. Killed him. And then he called his wife in to look at him, which I thought was awesome. You know, see what else?
Well, wait, the wife is actually a good egg, because like most of these shows that you watch, whenever there's like a wife or a girlfriend involved, and the significant other does these kind of things, they're like, no, I'm leaving.
Like season one when season one when she fucks his partner.
Yep.
Well, here's the other thing too is he Frank shoots Blake. That's the redhead. That's
yes,
the little
Blake,
bitch.
Yes.
For you know, obviously doing all the stuff behind his back and killing Stan, the person that everyone's supposed to care about, but I've literally seen him like
Nobody
three times
cares.
In this entire season. But that's besides the point.
Right.
So he shoots him in his club. No one hears it?
Yeah, I was okay, you know what? I will agree with you there. I thought the same thing. I go, nobody heard a firearm go off. Like, I mean, I don't mean like maybe security knows not to, but they're his security. But nobody freaked out. I mean, it's a fucking gun. Guns are loud.
But it was in his office in a casino, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wouldn't it be soundproof? Because when you think about it, whenever they're having conversation or even this ambient whatever, you don't hear anything outside. So
it's true.
It
you
did soundproof.
That's a good point. You don't hear the casino outside, which would be loud. But he did, yeah, he did shoot him there. And then they got to fucking get rid of this goddamn body. To the kid.
It's bleeding on the floor. Hey, wifey, come in and take a look at the dead body that I have.
Well,
I mean, I get it. Yeah. I, you know, it probably is soundproof.
Yeah.
I'm probably
yeah.
making a mountain out yeah. of a molehill, and I'm just grasping at straws just to complain where yeah. complaining is due.
Right.
But this is why I have a problem with the season.
I get it.
You can't be all things for all people. Either you're all invested in, and you're going to be David Lynchian and have whatever, singing Conway Twitty while you're
yeah.
about to die because you got shot by the guy with the Raven mask on, or you're going to be somewhat realistic where
yeah.
Mexicans aren't, you know, putting in the game genie code to, you know, spray bullets when you're still trying to reload and you're trying to look for your knife because you're the knife lady and you're going to kill the guy later on in the episode before this one that we're talking about.
Yeah, okay. It was a little ham-handed. I'll give you that much. That I will say that. It was. There is some parts that were there a little. I agree. There's some parts that take that do take you out of it. I mean, the shootout one we could always say was one of the biggest one episodes. It took does take kind of take you out of it. And you're right. They don't commit. They either go really dark and then, but then they also. You're right. He doesn't want to know if he wants to be really dark and kind of out there and existential, or if he just wants to be a serial cop show. Because I do agree. I do see that where he. He goes back and forth, like you said, where you'll have a guy in a fucking weird Raven mask and genitals being shot off to then police procedures. You're coming after. You know what I mean? And it's trying to be as if David Lynch made an L.A. noir thing is the only way to describe it, you know?
Right. But if you're going to do that, then don't vacillate back and forth. Either be 75-25 of one or the other.
I agree.
Because it just gets really confusing, and then it starts affecting, you know, characters and exposition yeah. and how they relate with each other. And I'm going to talk like a normal person to you this week, but next week I'm going to talk like I'm a philosophy major
yeah.
from NYU.
There was a few Tommy Lee Jones No Country for Old Men speeches in that didn't need to be
yeah,
there.
Yeah, there was.
I agree. I will agree.
They keep talking about that. That's like the persona of this Southern California.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. But, you know, then you have the other thing that bugged me, I will say, and I like this episode, but the one thing that did bother me and I even sighed, the fucking mayor. Is it me or was he being like basically TV drunk, like that his you know what I'm saying? Like he's like cartoon drunk.
His character
right?
always aggravated me. Like he's always drinking. He's trying to be a badass, but
yeah.
he's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize like all these people can kill him. He has like
yeah.
really has no power.
Right. But my point is like being he was kind of overreacting the drunk thing, which leads to when the Russian guy goes over to the bar. He has a drink with him. Oh, I knew you were a good businessman. You know, you could manage the clubs. Now, I did like Frank going around and burning shit to the fucking ground.
Because the guy said that that the casino is his now. He bought it under
yep,
him or something.
I know
or
exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah, because of Blake and all the workings that they had.
Yep.
Again, undermining Frank. Undermining Frank and all of his properties that Frank himself had acquired through questionable means, you know, getting
right.
Mexicans involved and everything else. But again, Frank, in the midst of all this, he's losing all of his shit. He's losing all of his businesses. He's being frozen out. Apparently, Osip, the Russian, was saying, you know, my people wanted to kill you, but I told them that you were a good businessman. And he's playing it cool as shit. He's saying, oh, you know, I completely understand. Not a problem.
Yep.
I'll be more than happy to run the clubs for you.
Yep.
And then, like Royce is saying, he starts going on his merry way, lighting everything under the sky while he has a drink. He's looking on the hillside while the shit's burning to the ground like a cool motherfucker because he's been a cool motherfucker this entire season.
I did like one of his lines that made me laugh was when his wife walks up and goes, "What's wrong?" And he goes, "Well, I'm being fucked in every hole, and I decided to drill a new orifice for me to fuck myself in." That was really funny, the way he kind of fucked himself with the Mexicans, where he basically didn't get anything, and now they were slinging heroin out of his club. But he burned that shit to the ground, because apparently it was the Blake told him about $12 million now that he's going after.
Yeah,
I guess that's his plan. And then he was going now. Then he went to. Holy shit! Those Hasidic mobsters were hilarious.
Dude, they looked like so jacked up, but they're wearing like the curly Q shit.
Yeah, they were when he goes over to the Hasidic mobster, and jewelry guy, but they're fucking about selling him what was it, 40% is what he told them.
Yes, yeah, 40%.
Yeah, and then he points over to the goes to make sure a transaction, and then it's funny the Hasidic mobsters are big dudes, but the problem is when Vince Vaughn stands up, you're like. I don't think he would be intimidated by these guys. He could probably beat the shit. If he beat that fucking fat Mexican dude with the grill, he could beat these two assholes, you know?
I don't know, man. They were bulging out of them suits.
Yeah, I guess. So he goes to them. Then, let's see. Yeah, he burns everything to the ground. Let's see. What am I missing here? I feel like I'm missing something with Frank.
Well, as far as Frank?
Yeah.
He buys like the plane tickets and everything.
Oh, yeah,
it's like
new
IDs and everything so they can change their IDs.
Yeah.
And then he asks travel agent if he can change the tickets at a moment's notice.
Yes. And he
She's
says
like, yeah, with that amount of
with
money.
With that
yes.
money you paid. Yeah, yeah. With that amount of money you paid, you could do whatever you want. Let's see what else.
Let's get to the part where
sure.
we start finding out the elaborate plan. The very confusing.
It is confusing, I'll give it to you.
I don't give a shit. Sure, why not plan, but plan nonetheless, because it all ties back to the LA riots from 92, where apparently the small group of people that are in charge of police, in charge of the mayor's office. All these people wanted to buy into the corrupt Vinci exclusive club. So they stole diamonds, very, very expensive diamonds. And I guess I'm literally reading all this stuff and I'm just thinking to myself like, really? OK, fine, sure, whatever. But the orphaned girl of the I want to say the diamond owner or someone that got shot.
Yeah, the jeweler.
Aubrey. She ended up becoming Casper's assistant. Found out about the diamonds, faked Casper's death because Casper wasn't killed by, some like crazy people. It was just, something to, formulate. You know what? I don't even care. I'm explaining it right now and I don't give
a shit. I get it. I understand. Listen, I'm listening. You're right. I get it. The plan's a little rough. It was more complicated than it needed to be.
I'm just trying to figure out why everything's tying into this robbery that happened in 92 with like these crooked cops. I don't know why. Like I hope they're going to answer all that in the final.
Well, episode. At least they did answer. They did answer that the shootout was set up. I mean that they because we were asking. I remember we were saying, are they going to mention whether that thing was a setup or not? Or
yeah, because it looked kind of like the getaway car was going like idle speed.
Right.
And there's this like. Like they picked like a spot where there was like a lot of people and there was that weird explosion that we don't know if it was like a meth lab or was just like just a timed explosion.
Yeah. Yeah. Then let's see. Okay. Huh. Paul's story. Ooh.
It's good to man. Paul. Oh, poor Paul.
Talk about feeling bad for a dude. I feel bad. Honestly, he's one of the dudes that he does dumb things, but I feel bad for him. He's just a dude who's not yet been. He's not comfortable with himself. He's doing things as he feels he needs to do them. Not, that was one of the lines that his buddy who ended up working for, who he was banging. He goes, when you're living your life, what do you say? When you're living your life, honestly, no one could, in reference to no one could blackmail you. So he keeps getting these texts about, him, banging this dude and the guy was taking a picture. He drives his fiance, his pregnant fiance, and his mom. That must have been a fun car ride.
To a hotel.
To a hotel. And then apparently somebody even called his fiance and said, tell him to show you the pictures. And he had to play off what the pictures were. To her, then he goes back, you know, to talk to Ray, and then he gets another text, meet over by some security place at some point.
It looked like a book depository.
Yeah, at midnight. So when he shows up there...
it was the Treasury office.
Yeah. When he shows up there, the guy that was there was the guy that was in the military with him, the guy he had sex with, and he now works for, like, you know, private security firm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He walks... basically downstairs to a subway thing, and
I think it was construction for the new rail system.
Yeah.
Right, you're right.
You're right. You're absolutely right. So they're down there now. I was a little confused here. Maybe you guys could help me out. Who the fuck was that black guy down there? That was that old black guy,
chief of police.
There yeah, we the go. Okay.
The guy, black guy, African American.
Sorry,
me,
you're right.
Excuse me, listeners. Pause it. He literally looks like. You ever play Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Yes.
He looks like the Sandman.
Sandman. Yep. Yes, he... Oh, yes, he does. He's the Sandman. So, he... trying to remember, what was he... What did he want from... I'm trying to remember. What did he want from Paul?
He wanted all the documents on hard drive, because apparently on this hard drive, there's some incriminating shit that will peg everybody, not just him, but the mayor's office and...
Everybody.
And Casper before he died, obviously.
Yeah.
And so... And he didn't know where it was at, because Paul, while he's a good guy, he's very, very dumb.
Oh, no, he's stupid. I never said he was smart.
Yeah, I don't know why you would think, you know, with all of the stuff that's going on and has been going on over the last several weeks, because I'm sure that this is over the course of a month or so, and you still don't get that this is bigger than you.
So he shouldn't have...
You should probably get some backup from Annie and Ray, because they don't care. I mean, they're all in too. So let's, you know, try to help each other out rather than just do it on your own. But he's so homophobic about himself.
Yep.
He's so insecure. Yep. He doesn't want anyone finding out. And then, of course, he goes and finds out that the guy that he's sleeping with is one of the guys that's blackmailing him.
Yep. You mean he's not smart? I thought he's pretty smart. He left $20,000 in a backpack in his mom's house. That's really smart to do, right? Just leave
that's
it lying
very
around.
Smart. So he also left his mom and his pregnant fiance there, which is probably going to be the most awkward conversation ever. Oh, I love Paul so much. You do too? Oh, how do you love him? Really? You like touching him? You like touching his bulging bicep? That's hot, right? Don't make it weird, mom-in-law. That's not good.
I smell new Odd Couple. So yeah, they're in that fucking hotel room was so fucking awkward. Them sitting laying in that weird little bed. So anyway, he's down there. He says that he'll turn on Ray and he'll turn on that dyke, is what he called Rachel McAdams' apple. I'll turn. I don't think I give a shit about that dyke. I'll turn blah 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 blah. And turns out he starts to kill motherfuckers.
Yeah, man. He killed a lot of.
He did really good. Like he died, but like for a GTA run, he did really good. Like he got a lot of people before they took him. You know,
like it was great because like you think like, okay, he got out. Oh, he's in the clear. And then out of like the corner shadow of like a door.
Boom. Dude, he was hitting headshots, too.
Who shot him? Who shot him last?
I don't know.
That was his friend, I think.
No, his friend was dead. No, I thought he shot his friend.
I thought that was the guy that brought him into the Treasury and he was just waiting outside.
No, the guy who brought him to his Treasury was his friend that he fucked.
It was his friend.
It was. No?
Oh, his friend got shot. Just,
his friend's dead.
His friend got shot.
The guy, you know who that guy looked like? The guy who shot him looked like the dude from, remember the last season of House of Cards? The gay guy that they had in Russia, that Petrov had? That was caught for demonstrating in Russia and he hung himself?
Yes.
Is that the same actor? Because I think it's the same. Also, Dexter's brother. He's also Dexter's brother.
I don't want to say.
I might be wrong.
I don't think that's right, but
I might be wrong.
I understand how he looks.
The guy who shot him, yeah. So he shot him, and then he's going for his gun. The thing I didn't get is again, okay, and I'm going to give you once again, Mark, a point on your why it was pretty stupid. Why would you let the guy get so close to the gun before killing him? Like he literally let him crawl all the way to his gun and then shot him again in the head.
To tease him, man.
No, but why? I mean.
Because he got a minute and a half before the credits roll, okay. So we got to drag this out as long as possible,
right.
Damn it.
See, but you know what? See, what you're doing is, that's fourth wall breaking, Deadpool. You can't do that. you're right, though. That's the only fucking reason. Because he should have just shot him dead. But yeah, he killed everybody, but now there's that whole mess there. My point is that at this point, there should be more than a federal investigation. There should be fucking... At this town, if there's any a town that should have martial law, it's this one. They have no law. It's just fucking falling apart.
Again, I'm only going by what you're saying. Yeah, and I'm using that as an example. But if Davis, who pulled together Ray and Paul and Annie after the fact to do the secret investigation team thing that she wanted to do, and now she's dead, no one is going to try to look for her killer. No, exactly. No person to come in and back up. Like, obviously, someone just died of a very high position as far as law enforcement is concerned. Yep. And it's just kind of, it happens. Shit happens.
What are you gonna do? No, I know exactly. And that's the thing. And you know, in my opinion, the person who is, like you said, and what you were saying earlier, Mark, the one who's handling himself the best, I think, is Frank. He's just fucking business. He doesn't give a fuck. He stays calm. He has his plan. He follows his plan. He does what he needs to do. He gets shit done. Where you have fucking Ray over here fucking breaking his kids' toys and doing rails and losing his fucking mind. And Paul is so fucking homophobic of himself that he got himself killed, you know. And Rachel McAdams Apple just was fucking dying. She even said it. She'd been waiting her whole life to stab somebody, and she finally got to do it, you know, just to make up for her childhood trauma.
But I will say that on the flip side, where Frank is, you know, obviously the coolest person as far as his demeanor and his attitude, in spite of all the shit that's happening, Ray's just fun as shit.
Oh,
he's
fun.
He's
Ray parties.
Great. Now I don't get where he's like the smartest person in the room one episode, and then the next episode he's just a big hairy sexy baby that's just doing rails and bumps, you know, every 5 minutes.
I know. And it, you know what's funny about that is when he's losing his shit, he was doing the biggest fucking rails on the planet. He breaks stuff up, and then this episode, when I laughed, is you could tell how great he is when Rachel McAdams was like, these drugs have me all fucked up. I feel like I'm losing. He goes, you want me to roll you a joint? Like, he immediately goes to that because that's what that's what he does. He's like, you want me to roll you a joint? Like, that's his only help he could offer. I could roll you. You want a joint? Because I could do that.
I mean, at least he didn't offer her an 8-ball or
That would have been, imagine.
why don't you drown your sorrows in some Black Label Johnny Walker, because I still have some that I bought. Now, here's the other thing, too, because obviously when I'm watching the episode and I'm talking with Tina/Buttercup, mm-hmm. and as the whole thing progresses, mm-hmm. and I'm saying out loud, fuck, I think I just lost the bet. I'm pretty sure I lost the bet. And the bet was mm-hmm. earlier in the season, in case anyone's been following the podcast, and I appreciate it if you have.
Yes.
But we made a bet to where Annie was either going to sleep with Paul, Taylor uh-huh. Kitsch, or she was going to sleep with Vince Vaughn. Or not Vince Vaughn, Colin Farrell, right? Yep. And apparently I lost because I didn't pick Ray. I picked Taylor Kitsch. So apparently I'm going to drink some really
yummy
awesome Lester's Fixins.
And Dutch has to, too, because Dutch lost the bet as well.
However, twofold. Did he drink his, number one? Would she have slept with him if he still had the mustache?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you thought that. I was thinking the same thing. He went from mustache fucking cowboy to then he shaved to like, oh, baby face. Now he's like 5 o'clock shadow fucking just... He's handsome Colin Farrell. Like, that's the one thing that took me out of it when Colin Farrell goes, you're out of my league anyway. I go, no, she's not. You're Colin Farrell. Even if your name is John Smith, you still look like Colin Farrell. So you're going to be fine, you know?
Because you can afford to be a total fuck up.
Yep.
A terrible ex-husband.
And father.
Questionable father. Questionable police officer and, you know,
pretty much person
of all citizens.
Questionable
person.
If you
look like sex, then you're going to get away with a lot.
You're absolutely fine. Why do you think Rachel McAdams Apple get away with everything she did, too? That's another one. She's fucking nuts. But by the way, she's the, I mean, she She killed that motherfucker in cold blood, left them there. And the one thing that I think it was Joe brought it up, and we did laugh about it. After she killed him, that guy was so, like, from New York. He's like, what you do to me? Hey, oh, hey, what you do? I was like, okay, you're from New York. Hey.
Suit.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man, I should have stayed on the East Coast. You know what I'm saying? Oh, I'm dying.
I should have stayed working for Fisk.
And I don't want to get back into the last episode because it's all past and everything. Right. But again, another little small thing that this is obviously a very opulent mansion. It's just, you know, screaming that it's been made of money. No alarms when they bust in, when they pick in. I know that I'm nitpicking. I know that I'm being that guy.
But you have a good point.
I can afford to be that guy because it's just
you have a good point.
Like little annoying things.
Yeah.
Over the last couple episodes.
No alarms. Where at the orgy party?
Yes. Starting with the shootout.
Yeah.
Well, they did have sentry guards that they took out.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But I mean, come on.
And I would imagine they wouldn't have alarms on, or unless that they had alarms but it seemed like everybody was in every single room of the house, so you know, you get one girl wandering off to have a smoke break. I don't think they want to set off a silent alarm.
And here's the frustrating thing to me is that it's like that, you know, you've got Colin Farrell, Vince Vaughn, Rachel McAdams, Apple. You've got Taylor Kitsch. You've got, you know, obviously a very competent writer / director, questionable, but he did good work in season one.
He did
all the talent in the world, all the bit players that are, you know, the minor second tier characters. All the talent in the world, but it's literally like you've got your kid. Like, I have a 10-year-old son, and he is awesome at baseball. He has all the talent in the world, but some weeks he just strikes out on purpose because I don't feel like playing this week.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I'm tired.
And then he comes in the following week and hits for the cycle. He hits a three-banger, and he's running bases, and he's hitting RBIs and all this other shit. And that's what's frustrating about the whole thing. I just wish it were a little consistent when it came to the quality of it all.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. This, of course, right now I could already say that season one was better. I mean, there's enough episodes that have been out there that I could already confidently say.
It was so dark and gritty, bro.
Season one I liked a lot, was better. And you know what? I'll tell you what. If this show wasn't called True Detective and it wasn't called something else and it was just the way it is but its own show, I think we would like it better.
Do you think it would have been a different...
You wouldn't be comparing it to season one.
Now, do you feel this way? And I'm speaking for everybody in the room right now. Do you feel this way because it's California and it's been done? Like when you really think about it, a show like this has been done countless times. They didn't do anything differently with this. Do you think... The cool thing with the first season of True Detective, it was in Louisiana. It was like right down in
the bayou.
So you do think if this show, if this second season was done in a different time zone, do you think it probably would have played out a little bit
That season three needs to be in Salt Lake City, Utah? Because I'm in.
I see it being in Vegas.
True Detective Mormons. I'd watch that.
Oh my God.
I would watch that in a second. We reunite the cast of Police Academy.
True Detective Oklahoma
City. They're not all
Oklahoma City.
Some of them are dead.
Starring Kevin Durant and Westbrook. They'll be the two detectives. What do you think? It'll be perfect.
I counter your argument, John, because I want to see a detective story in California, because if that were you can only tell the story once, but you know, you can name, you know, Chinatown, LA Confidential, Black Dahlia, Zodiac. Those are all really interesting because California's got a mystique to it. So I get why they moved from Louisiana to, you know, the West Coast. And I'm sure they'll go back to the East Coast. They'll do something in Baltimore, Philly.
Baltimore would be fantastic.
I don't think because of Wire, anyone's allowed to touch Baltimore.
You think so?
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong.
I'll agree with you on that one.
It's just... The Wire set that crime drama in Baltimore so high that it would be really, really difficult to try to do, in my opinion, do something like that. Now, you know where I would like to see? Detroit.
Detroit would be really
now good. It's because the way Detroit now is run down. I think Detroit would be another really good, another good backdrop for one of these kind of stories. I don't really hate California. Not really. I don't really hate California at all in terms of the story.
And I don't hate it either. I'm just saying, like, it just seems like a very easy plot, like the really easy play. Like, okay, yeah, boom, yeah, it's California, whatever, writes itself, baby.
But again, I'm going back. Baby. You either got to be weird or you got to be realistic.
Yes, agreed. Look, I agree with that.
And the first season was definitely a mix of both, but it wasn't anything where it kind of took you out of it. Like, what the fuck? Why are you talking like that?
Well, here's why. Because, for example, Matthew McConaughey's character in the first season, he was consistent, like you said. He always had a twinkle of crazy in his eyes, you know? He always, or whatever, you know, really, really deep or whatever in his eyes. You're right. In some points, Vince Vaughn is this big muscle dude. And the other point, he's shooting out of a fucking monologue, you know, like he's just a brilliant writer. And I understand what you're saying. It is kind of up and down that some of the characters' consistency in characters kind of gets lost, you know? Like, these are the smartest yet dumbest fuck-ups at the same time, if that makes sense, you know?
I wouldn't call them if I had a problem. I wouldn't call these cops. Are you kidding me?
I wouldn't call cops
in general. Worst cops ever.
I wouldn't call cops in general. But yeah, you're right.
That's true.
In general. That's a general rule.
I literally own shit now. I'm not 20 anymore. I'm 35, so. You got to call somebody.
You have a good point. You need for insurance. You need to do a police report. I get you. Yeah. But yeah, so anyway, why don't we play the season 2 episode 8 preview? I have that here. It's 30 seconds.
We can get confessions.
I've heard enough confessions today. Call it what you want. Revenge. Justice. Maybe that means something.
90-minute season finale.
That's an hour and a half, right?
Yes, that's what 90 minutes means.
Oh, shut up, man. That's just like when they put like the year for like a movie and they use Roman numerals. It's like, what the fuck? CM? Fuck you, man. Just say 19, whatever.
Huh. Paul wasn't in that.
Good.
Yeah. He didn't die. They just paralyzed him.
He's so fucking dead. All right. Predictions for the last episode. What are we thinking?
Who dies?
Who dies? Oh, someone's definitely going to die.
Oh, man.
Ray.
I think Ray's finally going to... Well, because in theory, didn't Ray already see the real guy that raped the wife?
Yes, in prison. In a couple episodes back.
That guy needs to die. If they're gonna stretch this shit out for 90 minutes, that guy needs to die. I want some closure.
And
they start opening up all these little things, and then they just kind of go away. I'd like some, doors being closed.
Well, there's 90. It's 90 minutes, so maybe they will do it. And it is nice when they say 90 minutes on HBO because you know it's not 90 minutes on like NBC where it's like a 20 minutes of commercials. You know, it's 90 minutes of pure fucking story, which I like.
Now that whole story, because they already had the arraignment. Are they gonna have a verdict for that? Like the paternity test and everything.
I think that that's not even gonna happen because remember he said that as long as you don't take the paternity test,
you can just have my kid.
Yeah, it's you can have him. He didn't. He would
I
rather.
I feel like she still sympathized for Ray, so I think that she's gonna have a play in this final episode. I think either Ulsip or Frank's gonna die. I think Frank is gonna try to. Okay, it either Ulsip or Frank is gonna die, or Frank is gonna be really close to getting out, and they're either gonna kill the wife or they're gonna kill both of them.
You know, it's.
But he's gonna fight. He he's not gonna give up without a fight, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anyone's going to get away, it's going to be Rachel McAdams' Apple. I think she's going to get away. Because
they got an APB on all of them, I think.
Get away to where, though? I guess that's a good point.
On top of someone's dick.
Oh, she loves that. But then again, I guess they're trying to get clear themselves, which I don't. The point is that. There's so much that needs to be solved. You know what I mean?
You think it should have been 2 hours instead of an hour and a half or 90 minutes?
I don't fucking know, but we'll see. I mean, I already know the season one was better. Season two, I liked it, though. I did not dislike season two. There were some parts I really enjoyed. I mean, I think coming out at the end of it, I grew a respect for Vince Vaughn as a dramatic actor, and I never thought I would say those words in my life.
I feel that in light of Frank blowing or gassing up the casino, I think he's going to go after Olsip's other properties, which he might take the nightclub.
I think he might go after more of Olsip's. I mean, we'll see, but he's going to know now. Because I love that part when he goes, where's the gas leak? Oh, it's right here. And he shoots him in the fucking head.
Yeah.
That was great.
Do you think he's going to take out those Mexicans that have been selling the heroin in his club?
There's no point to take them out because the club's burned down. I mean, what would be the point?
The casino burned down.
But they're not the problem, though. The problem is Osip. Osip has been the problem. Osip's the one that's got, like, it's not, you know, petty cash. It's, like, actual, like, real money, like millions of dollars money, not drug deals on a Wednesday night.
Exactly. So, I mean, 12 million.
Will Chisani die? And if he does, will he finally sober up?
No, I think he will still be drunk for about 2 years after he's dead with the amount he drinks.
Yes.
Because that guy. But I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but I have a feeling that I do think they might start killing some relatives of people. I do believe that happens. They might even grab Ray's son for all we know, you know?
I just had a brainstorm just now because you have Ray's ex-wife and then like that husband that doesn't say a goddamn word. I feel like if they're going to go after anybody, they're probably going to kill him.
Maybe just to do it. I think to try to get them, they're going to probably threaten. That's my opinion, because that town's dirty enough where they will try to threaten, you know, his family members to get him to come out. You know, my opinion, maybe I'm wrong.
Now, do they leave Paul's mother and his fiance alone, or do they have some sort of closure with the next episode?
Maybe that was the closure.
They're going to be stuck in that hotel room forever watching whatever it was that they were watching.
Well, but you know they're gonna be sitting in the same place as Huel was from Breaking Bad, just still waiting for someone to get back to them, just sitting there, waiting. I really don't think I think their story's done because the way they had her crying, I don't think they're even gonna find out that he's dead. I mean, maybe I don't know, but I don't feel like there was enough. I don't have enough interest in Paul's mom or her for even finish that. To me, it's finished because he's dead, in my opinion.
Yeah. Like they'll probably have like an investigation or something because you know, he had an APB on him, so they'll probably there's a dead corpse in the middle of the street.
Yeah,
unless if they scooped him up and put him in an acid barrel.
All right, well, I think that's good for this show, guys. I mean, next week's going to be a really fun one. 90 minutes, that was great. Thank you everyone for being on. Totes appreciate it. Next week we're going to be 90 minute finale, so we might go a little late on that one, but that was great, guys. Thanks for listening. I guess I'll end like I always do with a Lyra Lynn song. I do dig her. She's pretty good. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Ramcat. Thank you, John. I appreciate it. See you next week, guys.
Thanks for stopping by.
My bed is now a cylinder.
Don't cry, Mark. Don't cry.
To match the way I feel.
I still feel that the lonely guitar player is going to be like the one behind everyone.
Yeah. Lyra Lynn killed everybody.
Yes.
Oh, it's her. It's been her the entire time.
Yeah.
If they did that, that would be sweet.
Fucking switch on everybody.
They're like, really, guys? You did that in the first season. Come on.